Thank you, Mr. Fike. Good afternoon to all of you. It's good to be with you. You visitors, we usually have a typical Sabbath service, but on the event of these seminars, we've adjusted our schedule somewhat. And certainly if you come on other Sabbaths and meet with us, you'll find services and hymns and so forth. But we wanted to adjust it so that there wouldn't be any seemingly pressure that we're trying to get you to join our church necessarily. I thought I should give you a little context as to this lecture. We had another one 3 months ago, and in 3 months more we'll have a third, and then 3 months after that we'll have a fourth lecture. These seminars are meant to help us understand a key and beautiful and thought-provoking scripture. We find in Mark 1, 14 and 15, that Christ says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel.'" In our first series of seminar, we went through just what is the kingdom of God. And today I'm going to be discovering with you the sayings that are covered in verse 15, "The time is fulfilled," and then the second on the session this afternoon on "The kingdom of God is at hand." So I want to talk first off then in this second series, what do we mean? The time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. Over in the Gospel, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Christ says, "Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I come not to destroy, but to fulfill." In that verse, we use the same word, fulfill. Christ came to give us a full understanding of his instructions to mankind. His instructions are now complete in that not only is there the law that we find codified in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, but there is a spiritual adjustment to that so that we know that we should have not only the doings of God's instructions in our hands, but also in our mind, and that we live a way of life, not just do a way of life by action. So what is meant, it means Christ came to fill up the instructions to mankind here, to make the instructions complete and ripe. And that is very important for us to consider today. As we look into this scripture, there's something then to be said. What about the kingdom of God and me? Is it something that the time is filled full for me? Do I understand the kingdom in the sense that God has filled me with an understanding? You know, timing is everything. And sometimes it's our time to take action in our lives with what we have been reading and understanding. Timing is everything. Sometimes it's very important with eggs, isn't it? Hard-boiled eggs. If you take them out too early, they're not done. In a recent trip to Grenada, I was visiting with some friends, and she brought to me what her mother taught her to cook, and she calls them wobbly eggs. They're not quite soft, and they're not quite hard. And this is the way that they prefer to eat them. And so you slice into that and spread it over the plate and put some salt and pepper on it, so forth, and some hot sauce. And you then have a wobbly egg. But timing is very important. And it's also important in the subject of doctor's appointments, isn't it? Or any kind of appointment. When you make that appointment, the doctor is expecting you through the door. Now, you might try to charge him because he's late, but nonetheless, you're to be the one on time. Timing is everything. Now, this last week, somehow, the timing didn't turn out quite right. We have the Costa Concordia, and I found some comments online about that ship that now sits on its side. He says, "The captain had admitted that on the night of 13 January, he was not using the ship's computer navigation system. I was navigating by sight because I know those seabeds well. I had done the move 3-4 times. Costa Princess Lines confirms that the course taken was not a defined route for the passing of the Sierra Jiglo. The ship's computers are programmed and have routes in them, and alarms, both visual and sound, go off if the ship deviates for any reason from the stated route as stored in the computer as controlled by the GPS. But these alarms can be manually overridden. Lloyd's lists the published nautical chart showing the differences between the vessel's current route and what it should have taken. On 14th August of 2011, say 5 months ago, the ship had taken a similar sail past route, but not so close to the coast. That 14th of August sail past was approved by the cruise line, and it was done in daylight during an island festival and did not pass so close to the coast. Sometimes a coast is for us to see. We can see where we should be going. And all of a sudden it comes into our vision and we focus and we see what we should be doing. And so when we think about the time being fulfilled, there's some time in your life when understanding will come to its fullness for you, and you'll know that you should set a course. This is very important, and I think we then need to consider what route has been set for you by your captain. We all have a captain, our Father in heaven. So I'm asking this afternoon, is it time for you? Is God opening your mind to your purpose and your service to Him? See, the purpose of Christ coming to the earth was to fulfill His destiny. Christ had a particular job to do, a very difficult, unimaginable job. It says in John 1:29, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming to him and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." I think you're familiar with that. That scripture is very much on our minds. Christ came to take away sin. And in the next lectures, we'll be going through some of that information, because Mark 1 goes on to talk about being repentant and to change. And we'll cover that in upcoming lectures in the future, as we go further with these seminars. But He was the Lamb of God. And in Isaiah, there's so many prophecies about Him becoming the sacrificial Lamb for all mankind. Mankind doesn't naturally think of a way to satisfy the sins of itself by saying, "You go over there, you live sinlessly, you die sinlessly, and then all mankind's sins are forgiven." No, that was ordained by God. It's something that He did. And so we need to remember that He fulfilled His mission. And it was very important that it be done in a timely way. He was on earth at the right time to do that for mankind. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, Hebrews 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, speaking of Christ, "You have put all things in subjection under His feet. For He that put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him." So if you look around, while Christ has the opportunity and will take the opportunity at His return to straighten out the mess that mankind has made at the behest of and guidance of Satan, right now that isn't always happening. If you check our latest issue of the Good News, you'll see there is a replete with articles about Islam and West and what the problems are, the things that have happened in the last 1,300 years that have separated different peoples. But there is something that is yet to come, but it goes on to say, 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So you do have a captain. You do have a captain. If you will submit then to the way that he guides your ship, you'll find perhaps this very important matter, that the time is filling itself full for you. Christ accepted his destiny. And we have to then consider and question ourselves, will we make the right decision about our destiny? We find the parables telling us that there's going to be seed scattered. And in Matthew 13, when he talks about the seed being scattered, we have our opportunity to be the kind of ground that will absorb moisture, sprout the grain, and grow. None of us want to be stony ground. None of us want to be hard ground. But we do have an opportunity to bring forth then fruit. And it is important that you come to this pivot in your life and you decide it's important to change. In 1967 and 1968, when I found I couldn't do what I needed to do unless I yielded and I let his life be fulfilled in me. And it's a continual walk. It's a growing walk. It never ends. We find that Paul put it very simply in Galatians 4, not a far turn from here in Hebrews, Galatians 4. We all arrive at a time when it is right for God to say, your time is now. You are ready. You are ripe to receive the sacrifice of Christ and move forward. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. But when the fullness of time was come, and so when the time was right, when it was complete, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them, to buy those back that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, or sonship. And because you are children of God, he has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, how wonderful, Father. So there's a time when he wants you to yield to that Spirit, his power. And so there is this fullness that was coming upon Christ. And there is a time when fullness then comes to us. So is this your time to be fulfilled? Is this your time? Is this your destiny? In Acts chapter 8, I'm going to begin with verse 26. And read right to the end of the chapter with you. It cites the example of the Ethiopian who was interested in what he was reading, yet he didn't have the kind of understanding that he wanted. And all of a sudden, he finds Philip there, and the angel of God has sent Philip to teach and baptize this Ethiopian. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord said unto Philip, arise and go toward the south, to the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah. And the Spirit said to him, Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. So Philip ran there, heard him reading in Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Just keeping your finger there, if I go over to Romans. I'm looking in chapter 10 of Romans, verses 14 and 15. Very similar concept to what the Ethiopian is dealing with in his response to Philip. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except that they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So to understand these things, you need to be taught. And that is why we invite people to these seminars, so that they can understand there is a place where they can be taught. We don't go, as we're commanded in God's Word, don't go door to door, don't go from house to house. We're to explain these things in the general sense to those that would listen. We do that through our magazine. We do that through the programs that we have. And if people are interested, if they see that they can fill themselves up at the right time, we provide that service, being the preachers of the ways of God. So back to this book of Acts in verse 8. And he said in 31, how can I except some man should guide me? We all need guidance. So he asked Philip to come and sit with him, and the place of the scripture where he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. That's in Isaiah 53. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, who is he speaking of, the prophet of himself or some other man? So then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. Now indeed, Christ is our sacrifice, and by his gift of grace, he pardons our past sins when we are baptized, immersed in water. So as they went their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What stops me from being baptized? So Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. So there's a question here. We have to ask very steadily, and it shows a very quick succession of thought here for the Ethiopian. But we need to prove that we want to follow God's way by our activities. We need to prove that to ourselves. We need to say that to our Maker. We need to make sure that, as it talks in Titus, that we have a pattern of good works. So he did that and answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now I think there's something to be said by considering a little earlier in this text that he says he was going to Jerusalem to worship. This wasn't just absolutely brand new to the Ethiopian. There are some things that he had a major or a standard of understanding of. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now later, Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So I focus once again on time and timing. The ship made a major mistake. Its captain turned off the alarms and the bells. And he did not instruct the helm to move the ship away from the problems of the coast. You have a chance in your life to take your helm and move it in the direction of following your Maker. Let's look over in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that's in verse 1, He that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, that one is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his sheep by name and leads them out. Your name is known before the throne of God. Every one of us has a name that we know, and our Maker knows it as well. And it finds in all of this that we then, if we'll acknowledge ourselves as his sheep, his children, he will lead us out, and when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And you know the voice, the directions that we should have from our Creator. And the stranger will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And there is that truth as well. Not everyone sees these ways at the same time. That is why God has not called all mankind to salvation at the same time. Now Christ now goes through this parable and explains it, and explains something very important in verse 6. This parable Jesus said to them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke to them. A parable isn't for clarity. A parable is to test the heart, to see if you can understand. And if you can't understand, your heart isn't right. It hasn't been pricked by the Eternal. But if you understand, then you have some reason to acknowledge that you have understanding. And where did it come from? So Christ then gives the explanation. I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He'll find food, sustenance, strength. On the other side, though, is this thief. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. When you follow the ways of God and take course change, it says you should then have a more abundant life, a very good life. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, when he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, the wolf will catch them and scatter the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I think you would certainly say that your salvation giver, Christ, cares for you. And in our congregation, we care for you. We care to have others gain the kind of understanding they should. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so now I, the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, there's other sheep, other places, where I find that there are indeed sheep, but they're not of this fold, they're not of this time. I will bring them too, them must I also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. They shall be one fold, there'll be one shepherd. So God will work at his rate with his sheep. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. That's an important statement. You can go all the way through God's Word, and nowhere you see that they took the life of Jesus Christ. He gave his life. It was a decision he consciously made. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. So that is very important for us to consider. Your Father has a very important duty for all of us, all of you. It's imperative that you consider whether or not the time is fulfilled. We'll take a short break, and I'll commence with the second portion then, talking about the kingdom of God is at hand.